Hello, this is producer Ben, and if you enjoy listening to great Catholic content like this, then please consider supporting The Quest Atlanta, where we do our very best to make Catholic content that's engaging, thought-provoking, and spiritually fruitful. So if that sounds like the kind of content you want to listen to, then please consider going over to thequestatlanta.com and dropping a dollar or two in the old tip jar. Thanks so much, and keep on listening.
AM 1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
Hello, this is Bella, and on this episode of Honest to God, we talk about authentic femininity. What are the ways the world today corrupts women, and how do we fight against that and get to what women are supposed to be? And how can we use our femininity to better serve God and the world around us? Thanks for listening, and enjoy the show.
All right, everybody. Hello and welcome. You're listening to AM 1160, The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. This is Honest to God. Super pumped to be here. I feel like I say that a lot, but it's always true. Mm-hmm. I am always super pumped to be here.
We have got super pumped.
Super pumped. Ben can attest. Off camera, still super pumped.
Always pumped. Always as soon as like the camera's turned off, he just starts jumping up and down. That's how pumped he is.
It is true. My legs are literally duct taped to this chair right now to prevent that from happening.
Stick.
That's it. Yeah. We have got all veterans here, and there's only three of you. I think we had a no-show for
today. Shame them.
It's all me, Ben, and the ladies today, because today we are talking about authentic femininity, which is super exciting, something that I know a ton about.
I am versed in.
Most of this episode will just be myself and Ben talking back and forth to one another while you ladies learn a thing or two about what it means to be a woman. No, but we are very excited to have you guys here today. And before we kick it off, just one fun fact piece. But first, we're going to begin as we do all things in prayer. And I'm not going to lead because this is an episode on authentic femininity. So one of you authentic women, if you wouldn't mind leading us off, I pick Tessa, because her smile is the biggest right now.
Yeah. Love her. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we thank you so, so much for this podcast, for us to be together right now, Lord. We thank you for the love that you've given us. And Mother Mary, we just gaze upon your beauty, and we just love you so much, and we look to you for everything. You are the perfect example of what it means to be a woman. Intercede for us as we talk about what it means to be a woman today. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, amen. That was killer, Tessa. Great job. You get to lead prayer every single time on the show from now on. And I just heard, Tessa, is it true that you are going to start doing some of our man on the street stuff? Is that like a confirmed fact?
Yes, I'm very excited.
I'm so
catch me outside.
Are you doing that by yourself? Are you going to be out by yourself?
Walking I'm not the
mean
sure
streets
yet.
Or state institutions? And
Yeah.
I'll probably be following her around with the camera.
Oh, yeah, they'll be there.
Security.
Y'all are so cool. I'm really excited about it.
The redheads, yeah.
The what? What'd you say?
The redheads.
That's it.
There we go.
Yep.
Yeah, high percentage of redheads here on Honest to God today, which is exciting. Yeah, this counts. This is a little reddish, right?
Reddish.
I'm shade blonde
on y'all's level.
Yeah.
Of course, she's not on your level.
No,
yeah,
I've got the head of hair.
For those of you listening, if you've never seen Ben's hair, it is incredibly impressive. Yeah.
Yes. I'm the only one in really my entire family with red hair. Yep.
Wow.
That is my fun
fact for
today.
Your mom's hair is red. Your dad's hair. They're both red. Both of your brothers have red hair.
No, they don't.
Kind of.
Neither of them do.
Your dad does, for sure.
He has a red beard.
Okay, all right. Well, anyway, on this episode of Honest to God, we're going to shift topics and focus mostly on the facial hair of Ben's father. No, but we are going to talk about authentic femininity today, and y'all are all veterans. So if you can just give me one real quick fact starting, we're going to start over here with Alicia today.
Okay, so my fun fact is if I had to pick a spirit animal, it would be a quokka.
I'm sorry? A what?
A quokka.
What's a quokka?
A quokka is, if I remember correctly, it's like they're animals that live on an island off the coast of either Australia or New Zealand. And basically people go to this island to take a selfie. So like when you take a selfie with them, they're just like, and that's how I am early in the morning.
Is it a rodent? Is it a monkey? Is it
It's not a monkey.
Dolphin?
I guess it would be more like a rodent, but it's like kind of big. Like it's not maybe like a baby bear. Maybe like a raccoon, like somewhere in
this sounds
there.
Really made up.
Google
is
it.
All this true?
Q-U-O-K-K-A. Quokka.
Yeah, that shirt has been all over it, actually.
Do it.
It's making me so happy.
Spirit animals. That's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't know what mine would be. Maybe I like water bears. There's like little small tardigans, right?
Yeah, tardigrades.
Tardigrades. They can survive in outer space. They're teeny tiny. And bottom of volcanoes.
The smallest organism that actually has limbs.
Yeah.
They look,
yeah,
like,
they
little
look like little gummy bears, but they're
like on the cellular level.
It sounds really creepy. Yeah.
So you can be your weird selfie rat thing, and I'll be
whoa,
a water
whoa,
bear.
Whoa. It's bigger than a rat.
Okay, I'm sorry. Big selfie rat. All right, Bella, you are up. What is your fun fact?
I don't like coffee. I don't drink coffee.
I don't know. That's fun. That sounds like, even the way you said it, it didn't sound very fun.
I probably need some coffee right now.
I've got some coffee from Jaira Hodges' pink polka dot mug, and it's instant coffee.
It's really cute.
That Janice gave me earlier. So.
This show is brought to you by Jaira Hodges' mug.
Pick up your very own Jaira Hodges' mug from Jaira.
Yeah. Just she go to her house, take
it. I think she just left it. Like, yeah. All right, Bella needs some coffee, but she doesn't like it. And that's cool. That's sort of a paradox. It's fun. And then Tessa, you're back. It's been a week since you were on before.
Yeah, man.
They don't know that we just filmed that last episode. 45 minutes ago.
Not wearing the same outfit.
Nope, not the same outfit. No, my fun fact is that me and Father Mike are on a first name basis. He's my best
as
seat
in
now.
The Father Mike.
The Father Mike
as
Schmitz.
In jawline.
If you're watching.
Best looking priest.
Yes.
Hashtag.
Yes. Yeah. That's that. Yep. Father Mike.
Tell that story.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So long story short. Yeah. Bella's there. Steubenville. He actually blessed my rosary and my crucifix, and he turned around because it was so quick, and he said, "Sorry, Tessa, I was wearing a name tag, but by the end of the week, he did know my name, and he nicknamed me Tessalicious." So that
was cool.
Yeah.
I feel like, does Father Mike wear a name tag there?
No.
Oh, see, it just seems like
he should,
but I was going to say, it seems like just like a such a humble thing that he would do. Like,
yeah.
Just,
oh my gosh, he really is. He's
I'm the most famous, most attractive priest ever.
Yes.
I know I talked about this on the show, but not with any of you. Did y'all know that Father Mike was second up to be Robin in the George Clooney Batman and Robin?
So he actually has a picture of his graduation in a bat. I think he literally did his Batman, like a Batman mask at his graduation. I saw a picture.
That's cool.
That's crazy.
I have proof
cool.
somewhere.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
He was an actor, and did you ever see Batman and Robin, the old George Clooney movie?
Don't tell Terrible. Father Mike this, but I'm not a Batman fan.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, that's not a fun Batman. Fact either. Yeah.
Man.
But anyway, those were all great. Fantastic ladies. And today, Ben and I are going to shut up to avoid mansplaining. And I'm not going to say a single word this entire episode.
Great.
And we are going to be discussing authentic femininity. That's a joke. I'm going to talk a lot because I can't help it. So let's start right out the gate. What is it? What do we mean when I say feminine? I know when I say masculinity, right, I have a lot of rough images that pop into my mind. But it's a hard question of what does that mean, maybe, but I'm not going to give you my definition of masculinity because I want to hear your, don't give me like images associated with femininity. What is it? That was more than 2 seconds of silence on the radio. So now I'm going to call on Alicia.
So I would probably say, just with my background, that authentic femininity is a way of encountering the world.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like we hear in Genesis, like God created the male and female. And the theology of the body teaches that in and of themselves, man and woman have different ways of encountering the world, whole and entire in and of themselves. And so I think authentic femininity is a woman's way of entering into and living out that relationship.
A woman's way of entering into and living out what relationship?
The relationship with God in the world.
The relationship with God in the world.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And masculinity, we would define in the inverse, I assume.
Yes.
Right, a man's way of.
So, yeah.
Okay, cool. Do y'all agree? Does that jive?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really deep.
That was awesome.
No, it was excellent.
It was really good.
It was excellent. So we say a lot, right, that men and women complement one another, right?
Yeah.
And that the things that I lack as a man, right, my wife or women in general are able to compensate with, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we believe that as a culture? Why does that seem to be so? I mean, we believe that as Catholics, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all used to believe that, it seems like, until about 70 years ago, that equality does not equal sameness and that the two sexes complement one another. But what has happened? Why is it that in the 21st century, that is anathema? Why can't I say that?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of it has to do with, I mean, maybe pride and like just like what the world says, like, oh, like women need to be independent, which is true to a certain extent. But I feel like it's just taken it to like another level of like we kind of like are supposed to like do all these things on our own, even like maybe without God, like that's what they say. And it's just so not true. Like we need him for everything. Yeah.
Yeah, like they talk about femininity. I feel like the world has made femininity like a weakness.
Yeah.
But truly, sure. That's like strength. Like, just to bring it back to Mary, you know, the greatest woman ever. She crushed the serpent's head while also being completely true to her femininity.
Yeah.
So it's like strength, it's like a gentle touch.
So awesome. when I see in, you know, pop culture references, movies, really from the, I don't know, 80s at least, mm-hmm. forward, when I see quote unquote strong women presented in media, what I associate that with is like single women who live in big cities and have sex with lots of random people and have really high powered jobs as like VPs in an ad agency, right? What's up with that? Like, why don't we like, what is the, I mean, first of all, yeah. Why is that wrong? Because I'm not going to pull any punches. I'm not going to ask the question. That is wrong. That is an incorrect depiction. Mm-hmm. And for the record, a single man who sleeps with a lot of people and his end all be all is to be the vice president at ad agency is just as disordered. Mm-hmm. But why do we see those attacks on femininity in particular? And why are those lies?
I think that there's been a, for lack of a better word, a truncation of what relationships actually are.
Okay.
I think that there is a capacity of women, like we as women have wombs. We have the capacity to receive another and to cultivate and develop that life. And like they were saying, I mean, this is a short, like relatively short. It's not a long form podcast, right? So we don't have a lot of time. But like the short of it is that the culture at large has taken that relationality out of what it means to be a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And like women by nature are relational. Like you look at any scientific study, yeah. like there are so many differences between men and women. But I think oftentimes the culture takes the stereotypes and uses that to kind of tweak what it means to be a man or what it means to be a woman mm-hmm. when that doesn't actually work. And so you get this distortion because the woman with who lives in a big city, who sleeps with a lot of men, who has this VP position, right? All she is now is, in the eyes of the world, is just another man.
Right.
There's this fight for equality, which doesn't need to be fought. So D.C. Schindler has this excellent article about gender difference, really, sexual difference. And he talks about how you can't compare, like, an apple to a pepper, right? Mm-hmm. One's a fruit, one's a vegetable. Only when you get to the similarities can you actually compare something. So you can compare an apple to an orange because they're first fruits, but they still have the difference. And that similarity doesn't erase the other, for lack of better words, but it's from that similarity that you can grow an understanding and appreciation of what that difference is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm still curious, though, about the root, right? And we can point things back. We can talk about... we can talk about the sexual revolution. We can talk about oral contraceptives. We can talk about, I had someone not too long ago who said, I think the whole thing actually started with the baby bottle, right? Because they were saying that because it divorced the necessity of the mother being physically present with her child to feed it. I'm not making that assertion, but I'm just saying it was interesting. I'm curious about what the root is and why did we start to divorce femininity or what it means to be a woman from what it means from our traditional understanding of femininity. Because once again, going back, like I said, as a man, I can say masculinity has been so perverse now too.
Mm-hmm.
We had an authentic masculinity episode a while ago, and I talked about how men seem to have two options. Option one is the machismo chest beating guy mm-hmm. who's trying to talk about how many girls he slept with and just his end all be all is to hit the gym and be manly and make a lot of money and, you know, use a lot of women. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that has been distorted. And I think that was distorted around the same time that our understanding of femininity was distorted.
Mm-hmm.
Why? What are y'all's thoughts? Do you have any ideas on the why?
I think it's philosophy.
Okay.
Deletion of metaphysics.
Rooted in? What do you think, Val? What were you about to say?
I mean, I think it just goes back to like people having their own selfish desires mm-hmm. instead of women wanting to care and for others, or men wanting to care for like each other, goes back to people being selfish in a way.
Do you think that that is, do you think that it is true that that is what, that, that women at the, in their heart of hearts actually want? Is the VP in the Sex and the City kind of model woman? Because I know as a man, right, I thought that what I wanted to be was this machismo, jerky, manly man for a long time as a teenager, because that's what I saw men as. And then I started to realize that, oh, that's no, that's, there's no fulfillment in that. And I would assume it's the same thing from the girl's side, but I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah, no, it definitely is the same for us. I feel like, because we are gentle and delicate creatures, and like we want to be loved and seen for like who we really are.
And gentle and delicate doesn't mean weak, for the record.
And no, and that does not mean weak. Yeah,
meek
no,
does not mean weak.
No, yes. It's just very beautiful, right? And I mean, I think this. I mean, this is for women, but just everyone. Our deepest desire in our hearts is to have that relationship with God. And maybe we don't even know that yet, but I love the quote from, I don't know where it's from. Oh my gosh. It's, our hearts are restless until they rest in you, Lord.
St. Augustine.
St. Augustine. Thank you. Yes. And that goes, yeah, that goes for everyone, but it's so true. Like in the depths of our hearts, that is what we truly want. And we see that through other people too. Like we see God through other people. And, of course he is the, actually Bella's mom said this perfectly. He is what fills us, but other people can complete us. I don't know if that.
Well, that goes back to what you were saying, Alicia, about being inherently relational.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
So I think there are women who genuinely do want to have, you know, live in a city and like have a VP job. And, but that doesn't mean that they can't be mothers. It doesn't mean that they can't be wives. And so I think there's been this idealization of, in the culture and at large, really, of like what success looks like, what happiness looks like. And you start to divorce that relationality. And then all of a sudden you have all of these people who are just lonely and they're striving after something that doesn't satisfy. And when you forget that your first desire is for God and for the people that are just, that surround you, not to mention like broken relationships, right? And you've been hurt by family or friends. And it's like, well, forget them. I'm going to go do something else. Right. Like this is, we're looking after, or we're seeking fleeting happiness instead of that which actually satisfy the deepest desires of our hearts.
Right. It's the happiness versus joy sort of situation, right? Where we're seeking happiness in these temporary things. And what we want is our, is we want to be joyful in this sort of, or contentment might be an even better word. And we desperately pile in all these things that bring us temporary fleeting happiness at the expense of joy.
Make
joy more difficult to attain. Growing up in our 20th, 21st century world, right? How was femininity presented to you as young girls? I have three young daughters, an 8-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 5-year-old today. Super cool. And that's something I think about a lot, is like, how do I present femininity to them? I do a lot of cheesy, great stuff and little blessings at night. I remind them of their goodness and all these things. And I've said this before, but I'm realizing more and more that what we consider cheesy is actually usually wholesome, which is really good, right? And so I'm embracing the cheese in a lot of ways. But how was it presented to you, and what impact did that have on your like understanding of yourself?
Yeah, so I, growing up, like I said in my other episode, I've kind of like had a conversion. So for me, it was kind of like the girl is supposed to be the strong one, like, you know, like just what the world says. And I feel like that had an impact on me, because I was like, okay, I didn't let my walls down a lot, like in relationships and stuff, which that's a whole nother topic. Like that is important that you should do that with people to grow in relationship with them. But I was like, had this like hardness of my heart. Like, I don't want to let anyone through. I'm strong. This is who I am. And it left me with this emptiness, I guess.
I see it's funny going shopping for kids' clothes.
Yeah.
All the girls' clothes now are like, the future is female and girl power and girls do it best. And then all the boys' shirts are like, here's a monkey, and it says like monkey business on it, and it's so interesting that that is there. And I, you know, what it's again, I'm not trying to present women in a weak light, but I'm saying there's these weird sort of social pressures that say like you have to be strong and powerful and independent and push and drive. I'm not saying that that's something that is, you know, antithetical to femininity, but I'm saying that the emphasis is what is bizarre to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Belle? I'm curious about femininity as it was presented and
up. So I grew up in a house where like I had a very strong female figure as my mom. She's great.
She's a VP at an ad agency and she works in Chicago. That's what we mean by strong female figure, right?
Yeah, sure.
No, no. I'm kidding. No, shout out to Lisa.
Yeah, she's great. But I was taught, you know, it's important to be yourself, like have your own relationship with Jesus as like a female. But also be able to depend on other people. So like let a man open a door for you. Let him serve you. And then you also like serve him in your own way. But also just, to be dependent on other people as a female. But ultimately dependent on God.
We keep using the word dependence, or we keep using the word relational in regards to femininity. Mm-hmm. That's not something I thought was going to come up a lot in this show. And I'm curious because I don't want to misconstrue what you're saying and say being a woman, being a strong in your femininity means being wholly reliant on others. That's not what you're saying, right? But so maybe the better question is, what does a strong woman look like? You cannot use the Blessed Mother as an example. What does a strong woman look like? I have examples in my head that I can think of, my wife and whatever, but I want to hear y'all's perspective.
I feel like understanding is a big word. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know exactly where I'm going with this, but I feel like for like, it's just a strong woman is an understanding of the differences between men and women and like how we play a role in our world. And because if you don't know something, you can't really act it out. And I feel like in order to be strong, you have to know first.
Can you give me an example of a strong woman in your life that you've encountered?
Bella. Actually.
Nice. Okay.
She is literally the first person I think of when I think of just strong.
Why? Brag on Bella.
She is just, I mean, because we come from very different backgrounds, and Bella, just like with every aspect in life, I feel like she's just like this like powerhouse of like in her faith and her wisdom and everything. And it's all rooted because she's rooted in Christ so deeply. But it's like just this like lioness, like just strength with everything.
Heck yeah, Bella.
Thank you. I love you.
No, that was really good.
She's the lioness over here.
So let's dig into that some more. I'm curious about examples of strong females that are not the Blessed Mother, because you're not allowed to use that. Once again, I'm not saying the Blessed Mother isn't, but off air we were saying a minute ago, it's like if you were to tell me, like, give me an example of a strong male figure, and I was like, Jesus, you'd be like, okay, yeah obviously. But like, give me, you know, something that's somebody who's not one of the two people who were perfect. That would be awesome.
I would probably say my Nana. So she grew up in the Depression, had like a corporate job, worked for Georgia Power, was really into politics, very much a feminist in like the modern sense of the word. But she also had a graciousness about her. Like, there was, she was fighting for the feminine cause because she knew women had worth and had been discriminated against in the workplace or even just out in the world in general. But she had this capacity to just receive people where they were at. And like, regardless of where they were in their life's journey, she had an ability to allow them to be themselves and like push them towards greatness while also like affirming that dignity. And like, in my mind, like, that's what I strive to be. Like, there is a classiness about her, not only just in her dress, but in the ways that she just interacted with people. She wasn't overly fussy. Although her and my pawpaw bickered a lot, she wasn't overly fussy. She wasn't overly picky. And I don't mean to say all of this in like an idealization, because I think it's very easy to idolize someone. But I think there was just kind of like a, for lack of better words, an authenticity about her. And I think that's an important part of femininity, is this authenticity of like receiving ourselves and the gift that we are, and then allowing ourselves to be that in the world.
I loved how you said affirming others in their dignity and affirming her in her dignity, because I feel like when we talk about, let's say the feminist movement or, mm-hmm. or whatever, I'm not going to say a whole lot of nice things about the feminist movement, right, that came out of the, the 60s and 70s in particular, right? But there was sort of the early feminists who were saying exactly what you're saying, right? Women have value. Like we are not just supposed to be servants of the man as some like weird stereotype of a 50s housewife kind of situation where I live to serve this guy, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not supposed to just reproduce children and clean a house, right? Mm-hmm. We do have dignity in and of itself. But I feel like then the feminist movement evolved into this sort of sick, like our goal as feminists is to make women more like men.
Yeah.
And it totally broke it. This is that whole, they don't understand the concept of equality not equaling sameness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was given a talk not too long ago, and modesty came up, right? And I was talking to a bunch of girls who had heard 100 modesty talks, and it all boiled down to this. Ladies, when you dress immodestly and you show off too much, you're leading boys into sin. And I was like, that is not the purpose. No. That is not why you should be modest, right? It's not because these guys over here need to keep their eyes to themselves and you're being alluring or whatever. Not primarily. Sure, that's a part of it. That's a benefit, I guess. But the primary reason is because your dignity is such, right, that you should keep private what is private, right? Mm-hmm. You are worth more. It's because of you. It's because of your dignity, not because you're supposed to serve this other person by somehow protecting their eyes and their thoughts. Yeah, right. Because you are worth more than this.
Well, and it's not even a hiding, right? Modesty is not hiding the beauty of who you are.
Right.
Modesty is presenting that in such a way where people, male or female, can rejoice in that.
Yeah.
That's the point of modesty. So yeah,
on the whole modesty thing. Well, actually, you know what? We are almost at time, so I'm going to we're going to take a real quick break, and then I want to dive back into some modesty stuff here in a minute. But we will be right back, ladies and gentlemen. This is killer. We're cooking. This is moving fast. We're going to be right back here in a minute. Be sure to stay tuned.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest.
Let's see, I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM, too.
Please, prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.
We're having a great time in here today. Ben gave us a great start up here a few minutes ago. So we're excited, living the dream over here at The Quest. But we're going to continue our discussion now on authentic femininity. We've been rocking and rolling, cooking with gas for the first half an hour, and we're going to keep it going. Here's one thing that I want to throw out, an exercise that I've done multiple times with different groups that I think is really important to hear. And I need a guy to look at when I do this, so I'll look at Ben. And this isn't so much me lecturing any of you ladies on authentic femininity. This is just something that I really think it's important for girls, especially college age girls, to hear, right? Ben, when you are walking down the street mm-hmm. or driving in your car, and let's say you see a billboard with some scantily clad female on it,
right?
Right. And maybe it's selling a sexy cheeseburger or something, right? Or you're at the beach and someone is dressed extremely immodestly, right? We were just talking about modesty before the break.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that person, and you see a whole lot of that person, right?
Right.
In your brain, let's say she's a very attractive girl, mm-hmm. right? Do you immediately think that is beautiful? That is something that I am attracted towards in the sense that I want to die to myself for that? That is someone who I want to love and honor all the days of my life?
No.
That is the right answer, right? And that's the answer that I've gotten from everybody, and that I think is really important for girls, especially younger girls, to hear. There's a reason that we have words like beautiful as opposed to words like hot, right? Mm-hmm. We have words like sexy as opposed to words like gorgeous or, you know, all these things that we describe women as. And I want to make sure that I say out loud the distinction between thrilling and the arousing of a lizard part of our brains or whatever towards like reproduction and sex, like lust, right? As opposed to like like beauty and a desire for relationship and not even necessarily romantic or sexual at all. But there's that serious distinction between what is beautiful and alluring in a very holy, rightly ordered way and what is sexy or hot or that comes from revealing. I just want to say that out loud.
Cool.
Good way to start off the show. Yeah. All right. Awesome. So with that in mind and just everything that we've been going through, off air, we were talking a little bit about the things that guys don't know about femininity, the things that guys don't understand about you as women in the world today and the pressures that you are under. The last segment, we were talking about sort of the evolution of our popular thought on what it means to be a woman from the 70s, 80s, 90s till today and how disordered that is. But I'm curious, as women who have grown up in this day and age, what don't guys understand that you're dealing with? Any thoughts?
Yeah, I would just add that maybe, and I'm sure it's like you've heard over and over again, but maybe they just like, maybe we'll never fully understand, yeah, is the way we think, as in like obviously men and women are different in the ways that we think, but we just like overthink everything. Yeah. And it's not just like black and white with women. I feel like it's like we just really like dig deep into every scenario, and I feel like for a guy's brain that is just really hard to understand because mm-hmm. it's like one thing or the other a lot of the time. Not sure. With everyone. No, I'm not, yeah,
this no, is just, you're right though. Yeah. I totally agree. Yeah.
And I feel like that's where like some of the disconnect maybe comes. And also just like a thing, like maybe in like relationships, is like communication mm-hmm. With us, because we do that, we start to think all these things. Like if a guy is communicative, is that a word? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good job.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. With us, I feel like that, and that's hard for, I think, guys to know too, like to know it or to understand it first, then you can act on it. But it's good to know that we need that communication.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Sure.
I think that could also go to like why we have so much in our brain, just mm-hmm. deep thought over here. It's like we're almost created to have a lot going on, because mm-hmm. I feel like women were created to multitask. Mm-hmm. Say you have a child, you're nursing your baby, you have a bunch over there, and it's sure. like when we're not mothers yet or anything like that, all of our thoughts are just in our brain going back and forth. Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
I like that, like evolutionary understanding of why they do that, right?
Yeah. And,
you know, I guess my ancestors were supposed to, or my male descendants, their primary goal, evolutionarily speaking, was find and kill mammoth, bring mammoth pieces back, like all these yeah. sort of one track sort yeah. of things. Go to neighboring village, Woomagas are bad, must kill them because they ate our yeah. cow. I don't know. I've never been a caveman, yes. but I assume. Yeah. any more in that line? Because that is something that I want to come back to and I want to focus on, is that the more I understand, just from being around my wife and my three daughters, the more that I feel like I grow to understand women, it's more like I'm understanding all the things that I don't quite understand, mm-hmm. right? Because we are, once again, we are different and we are complementary, and that mm-hmm. is so good, mm-hmm. and it is so frustrating in so many ways. Yeah. And I feel like the world we live in today harms women more seriously than it harms men, right? And I'm not saying it doesn't harm men, and you feel free to disagree with me. Mm-hmm. I'm happy for pushback. I always tend to ascribe more blame to the men for corrupting the world. I think it's because I am one, right? And I've heard women who have said, no, actually, I think it's the women who do it. But I think it's really harmful. And one thing that I'm curious about, if y'all don't have any more just things that guys should know, is the pressures that are faced by girls. Let's talk, I mean, start in middle school when you're sort of making that transition from I'm a little girl to I'm becoming a young woman. I'm talking about puberty, sure, but I'm also just talking about social pressures and everything. Like, what does that look like? I can speak to it as a man and what I experienced there, but what does that look like for you when you're trying to find yourself as a young woman and your place in this world? Mm-hmm. What does that look like?
Yeah, I think our bodies, really, like just comparison to others
yeah.
is like a big mm-hmm. one for us, and just like insecurities with that, and maybe like because of the friends you have, or like just because you really are like formed by the people like you're around. And I feel like if you're in this world of like maybe people that put into your head, or like friends even that are like, oh, well, this is how we have to do things, and this is this and this is that, like that'll kind of get ingrained into your brain when you're trying
but give me specifics. Yeah. How do we have to do things? What are those things that you're hearing? What are those messages, be they lies or not?
Just to jump in here, I think a big thing is the stereotypes, yes. Right? Yeah. So for me, when I was in middle school, because I'm a tad bit older than you two, is that for me, it was you had to look a certain way. You had to present a certain way. And like, I was a tomboy growing up. Like, I loved playing sports. I was softball. Like, I ran, like, you name it. Like, we used to have kickball tournaments in my cul-de-sac. Like, like, cul-de-sac versus cul-de-sac. Like, it was a thing, right? And so, I think it's important, like, to also tag back to what you were saying earlier. I think it's important for men to be intentional about delighting in who's in front of them. Because for us as women, like I know, especially for me growing up, like I used to love when I would come up to my dad and I would like, I was dressed up or I did something really great in softball, like I hit a home run or a grand slam or something like that. And he would delight in me. I think that's a distinction between male and female. But I think it's also important to understand that there's different ways to be masculine and there's different ways to be feminine.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so I think for me, that was like the biggest struggle is like, well, I'm a tomboy. So am I more like a boy than I am a girl? And that's not a thought I had on my own. Like that's something that was presented to me.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's where like that wrestling was coming from is like, what do I do with this? You know what I mean? So like, there's so many questions that start to come up from that where you're like, okay, so why I never really liked wearing dresses growing up. It just never was my thing. Not that I don't like wearing dresses now, but just in general, like you can't get dirty in dresses and I like to run around. To me, they're just inconvenient. But like different things like that of like understanding the importance of like, you can be feminine and maybe you don't like wearing dresses. You can be feminine and maybe you don't like the structure of like cooking for your husband. It's okay for a man to cook. Like no big deal.
Well, I love what you said about the stereotypes because I feel like femininity and masculinity have been boiled down to these two stereotypes.
Yes.
And I grew up in this magical age of the late 90s and early 2000s where the message really was like, hey, girls can play with Legos. Girls can like trucks. Boys can like this. And now I feel like it's become the exact opposite. It's become like, oh, you like trucks, but you're a seven-year-old girl. Maybe you ought to start thinking, are you really a girl? Do you really feel like that? And it's so boiled down to the stereotype. This tomboy is dying at the sake of this transgender nonsense.
There are no tomboys
everything.
Anymore.
Right.
It's just boys.
They're not there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Can you guys speak a little bit to how, like, I don't know, those pressures of that come into your femininity as a young woman and what that looks like and how, I mean, not to get too much into the sort of sexual attraction nature or topic, but I was having a conversation with a group of middle school girls not too long ago. These are seventh and eighth graders. And they were talking about how a couple of them were telling stories about the way that all of a sudden, like grown men, like 40-year-old men have looked at them and given them attention and how awful and uncomfortable that was. And like you were saying, just from a like biological perspective, right? When our bodies change, when we go from boys to young men, there's not that many outward, like obvious, like I'm different now as there are with girls. And I can't imagine. I mean, I'm curious about the impact of that or what that does to the mind of a girl who's growing up.
Yeah. I feel like, for the mind of someone who's young and like kind of being pushed into this is like this guard that goes up. Or like maybe even this like stereotype that we would get in our own heads of like every guy is like this.
Right.
And then it makes it harder when you come to like have relationships with other people. I think that was like part of my testimony too. Just like letting that wall back down and be like, oh, there is good people in the world that I didn't see before because I just had this image just based on this like one or two people or whatever it was. Yeah.
Well, you're growing up and by growing up, I mean, I know that you guys are all grown women, but I mean, you are growing up and continuing, young adults, right? In a world that has, going back to crapping on guys a little bit, sorry, but where, what is it, like 90% of all guys have a serious pornography addiction.
Right.
And you've got high 90% of all of these serious issues where our men are so wounded. And then you're growing up where men are designed to, we're supposed to protect, we're supposed to provide, and you're not seeing any, you're seeing very few men who actually embrace, very few masculine men.
Right.
Right. Even though they might be physically men, they have not embraced that. What are you going
to
say, Bella?
Yeah. Well, like if you go back to Genesis, our curse was to always long for a man. So we always long for a man. And if there aren't as many there are good guys out there, but if the ones in front of us aren't as good, then us longing and wanting to be with them, they'll wound us in a way, just by having different kinds of men like them.
Yeah, no, it's a really scary world to be raising my daughters in, and I don't know, I'm always sort of grasping and thinking and wondering about that. We were talking before the show started, and this is kind of new, kind of pop culture-y news, but there was the guy, if I know producer Ben said he was familiar, Andrew Tate, right? Have y'all heard that name before? Do y'all know who that is?
No.
So he's some big YouTube guy, right? And he was given, like I was talking about earlier, sort of the more machismo, whatever, you know, guys are, you need to be a man by sleeping with all these girls and making lots of money and being really rich and in really good shape and all of this stuff. He just got arrested for sex trafficking.
Yep.
And his name became a big thing because he had all these guys looking for it. And I, as a young man who grew up wondering what it meant to be a man and everything, I understood why some people were drawn towards that. They were like, okay, well, the culture is telling me that, come back to the girl power shirts and all of this, that there's no place for me to be a real man. And all of a sudden there's this guy over here being like, oh yeah, you can be a man. Here's how you be a man. Follow me. And I see that draw. He turned out to be a really evil, evil guy in a lot of ways. And the things he said, I went back after the scandal and I watched some of his stuff. It's pretty despicable stuff. He'll say some really good things, right?
Yeah. Every now and again, he'll say like a truth about the world.
He'll say, like, your masculinity is good, right? He will say that is a good thing.
And then he'll say, but to do that, you have to sleep with a bunch of women.
Yeah, exactly. And it was so disordered. So I see these guys doing it. I see these women growing up in it. One thing I want to get back to, and if this is too personal, feel free to tell me. It's none of my business to be quiet. The role of fathers in regards to the formation of women. And you don't have to go into personal stories if you don't want to, but I'm just curious. Mm. That's something that comes up a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really good. Ahead.
Bella.
All the women would like to talk. Okay. I know. I had a great father figure. Women, we always, you know, we're cursed to always long for a man. And if we don't have a good father figure, it sort of makes us long for other men, bad men, anybody who will take us. Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
Because we need that fatherly love. That if we're not looking for it in God, we're looking for it in Father. If we don't have a father, we have to look at another man and anybody who's in front of us.
Yeah. The relationship of a father and a daughter, I think, is absolutely crucial. Even like a father to a son. Mm-hmm. Like they're literally the face of God to everyone in that family. And I, the more that a father is invested in his daughter's life, the more that a daughter will know what love is good and pure and intentional, and what love is not. And if you teach somebody who's maybe like a starry-eyed five-year-old, right, that love is aggressive and love is shouting and love is whatever, like list a name of things, they're going to think that's all they deserve in life,
right.
Which goes back to the whole delighting thing and like the importance of knowing that like they are worth investing in. They're worth the time and attention that they absolutely need.
Right.
And not need in a sense of like, that's a weakness or anything, but it's something that helps to build up and foster and fortify the walls of their heart so they can go out and be that witness in the world.
Yeah. I firmly believe, and you can call me out if you think I'm wrong, but that at the end of the day, every woman, be they Mother Teresa or a prostitute on the side of the street or a porn star or anybody, right? At one point they were 7 years old in a princess dress and they just wanted to be loved and told that they were good. Right. And in the same way, I think we see that reflection in boys too, differently, right? Yeah. They were playing cops and robbers and they want to be respected and they want to be seen as someone who's the good guy.
Strong
and doing that, which is good. And I think that that doesn't go away. We don't kill that. We push that down sometimes and we forget about that. But I think at the end of the day, if we're honest with ourselves, all of us are still there in a way.
Yeah.
I think that my 7-year-old daughter, and my 10-year-old son, in a lot of ways, know more about what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman than I do. Right. Because I've got all this garbage from the world piled on top of it. And at the end of the day, that's what I want. I want to be seen as respected and enough and good. And just like I would assume women want to be seen as beautiful and good and loved.
Yeah.
Right. Sorry, that was a good one. Now, father wounds. I want to talk about that. we're all going to have parent wounds, mm-hmm. every single one of us. Mm-hmm. My kids are, even Ben's kids might one day. We're not as great as producer Ben is. Ben's like,
I'm not so sure about that.
No, but we're not perfect parents, right? We're fallen. Right, yeah. We have concupiscence. How do we overcome them? How do you overcome father wounds? How do you overcome, mother wounds, father wounds, parent wounds? Because we all have those. But talking about femininity, I think father wounds in particular are important to dwell on.
Yeah, father wounds. I feel like, for me at least, God the Father, like just looking to him. And even I just got done with a consecration to St. Joseph. Beautiful, highly recommend. But just like seeing...
Can you say it one more time?
The consecration to St. Joseph.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yes. It's super cool. And it just, I feel like we really look to Jesus and Mary a lot, but St. Joseph he is looked at a lot too, but I feel like he's kind of pushed to the side sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I feel like for me, it was just so eye-opening to just see and like hear his story, like truly and fully for what it was. And like, just to have that like role model that, maybe no man could have on this earth. Right. But he was like the embodiment of that, the father figure of the family, and just like seeing his story and like just getting to know him more was like such a cool thing. And then I feel like that made me stronger too. And like the knowledge of like what to kind of look for and like how to base my own, not standards, but standards.
Yeah. No, that's fine. I remind myself pretty frequently that my wife was created to live in like heaven with Christ forever.
Yeah.
Right. And it, to make it more difficult, my brother-in-law is Jesus because my sister-in-law is a nun. So like she's married to Jesus. So it's like, I gotta,
yeah.
But it is a reminder day in and day out of like, I'm not doing good enough. I've got to up my game. Right. She is made for heaven. She's a princess of heaven. She's stuck with me and I really got to up this game. And that's not excusing her and saying that she's, has never done anything that's wrong ever. But it's saying that my role and my relationship to her is to do that. And just like she's got to put up with me when I'm not doing great, same with her. Mm-hmm. And that's really, really difficult for us to do. I don't know. Any thoughts on overcoming father wounds? Any other thoughts from anybody else?
I would say a relationship with Christ is probably mm-hmm. a good place to start. Our parents reveal God to us. And so if there's any wound to that, there's an initial thought to think that the Father is not good and he is not trustworthy.
Right.
And so I think getting to know the Lord and like just simply reading the Gospels and looking at his interactions with saints and sinners, right? Because it is Christ who reveals the Father to us. Mm-hmm. And so he can speak truth into those wounds and into those lies that maybe penetrate the depths of our hearts and our souls to really bring to light what is true, good, and beautiful.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, Bella, I know a little bit about your family and your upbringing, and I feel like, and actually don't correct me if I'm wrong because it'll be awkward on the radio, but I feel like mom and dad did a pretty great job.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What did they do? Like, because you, and just, to, I know this is like the brag on Bella show, but Bella is an incredibly grounded, beautiful, feminine example, right, of a person. And I think that you're a marvelous young woman. I would consider myself blessed if my daughters end up like you and my son ends up marrying somebody like you. Aww. And I'm curious about what they did right.
Oh my gosh, you're so sweet. Thank you. My family, we're a team. We all love each other. And I think the thing my mom, my dad did is we prayed together every morning, all growing up, praying for our masculinity, for our femininity, for our future spouses, for our vocations. It was really just all rooted in prayer. And just like parents, they co-create with God. They co-parented with God.
Oh, so, I like
that's
that.
Good.
Yeah.
That's good.
I'm sure I've mentioned it on the show before, but some of the best advice I ever got was from a guy who's a parent at my school who has a lot of grown children and one who's still in high school, and they're all amazing. They've got all these mm-hmm. great kids who are grown up now. I say kids, but some of them are older than I am and they have their own children and they're just faithful and just mm-hmm. good. Right.
Yeah.
And so I cornered this guy at a barbecue and I was like, I want my kids to be like your kids. Like, how do I do that? And he said, well, like the elevator pitch is you need to make sure that you are blessing them. And then he went through how that blessing works and what he says. And it involved a lot of affirmation and a lot mm-hmm. of just reminders mm-hmm. about their goodness. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it was in reference to God, right? But a lot of it was also in reference to me and that like, I love you and I am proud of you. And sometimes I am a jerk and sometimes I'm mean and I'm sorry. All those times, anytime that I failed you, I'm sorry. And it doesn't mean that you are not good and it doesn't mean that I'm not proud of you. Mm-hmm. I'm on your team and I love you. Mm-hmm. And It's huge. I do it every night. And once again, seems a little cheesy in the moment,
but it's good.
Yeah. It's wholesome and good. And that's fine. I'm okay being awkward and cheesy if somebody were watching me through a window or something.
My mom goes into our room, like growing up every night, with a holy water. It was a spray bottle, and she'd spray us. Spray us with holy water.
Nice.
Yeah, she'd spray it. Yeah.
Do you live at home right now?
Yeah, I do.
Does she still do it?
Yeah.
Yes. Way to go, Lisa.
Yeah, she's great. She does the same thing, though. She prays, does a little prayer.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's huge. And we need those reminders. Going back to the last episode about being corporeal beings, and like we need to hear it. We need to hear it. Mm-hmm. It's great to know it, right? That's important. We need to know our goodness. Mm-hmm. But it's also really good to be reminded of and to feel it. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And once again, when you hear it over and over and over again, even if you don't feel it, it's that reminder that at least I need you to intellectually assent to your goodness, because it is true whether you want it to be or not, whether you feel it's true or not.
Yes.
We're running low on time, but one thing I do want to throw out there, because I like ending with these kind of questions. Mm-hmm. Let's say that I am a 22-year-old girl and I'm listening right now and I've bought the lies. Or let's say that this is my daughter or my sister or my friend or whatever that I'm describing. And I've bought the lies of the world about femininity and the whole, in order to be feminine, I need to abandon a lot of those traditionally feminine ideas and become more masculine, right? I need to focus outwardly. I need to focus on success I need to be the woman we talked about at the beginning. I need to be a VP of an ad agency and be an independent, strong woman. And I show that I'm independent by going out and sleeping around and by not respecting myself and not respecting others. But I want to be more authentically feminine. What do I do?
Yeah, I would say definitely just spend more time with God in prayer with that, whether that be reading the Bible, whether it just be sitting in his presence, asking him, hey, how do I do this? Because he is the truth and he is the example, and he will let you know. But you have to ask, knock, the door will be open.
A lot. Sometimes you got to keep knocking.
Yeah, keep knocking. Yeah, keep asking.
The parable that I've always appreciated the most is the one where, and I'm gonna butcher it, but essentially the guy just keeps knocking at the guy's door, right? And eventually the guy's like, oh my gosh, just so I can go back to sleep, I can bring it. And sometimes I feel like it's me and God's like, come on. Am I gonna do this all day? Years are gonna go by, I'm gonna keep doing this.
Right.
And he answers eventually. And the reason he's not answering is for a reason. It's not because he's tired or whatever the guy in the parable was. Mm-hmm. What about you, Bella? Same situation. What advice do you give?
I think prayer is really important. Someone asked me the other day, like, do you pray for your femininity? And I was like, in my head, I was like, no, like, I'm a girl, I'm feminine. But I think it is important to remind yourself that you need to pray for it and ask God for help with that, because it is attacked a lot in this world.
Prayer, and I don't want to steal anything from anybody else, but I think, at least from a masculinity perspective, look at the people in your life and look at the people who are building you up. And, you know, I'm not saying abandon all your friends or anything, but an adage I use a lot is you are the sum total of the five people you spend the most time around. And if you're not around people who are supporting that journey and supporting that growth, like, you're not strong enough to do it by yourself. Exactly. I'm sorry, you're not. So find good people and just lock on to good people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got any advice there to close us out?
I would say get to know the desires of your heart. And if you think that those desires maybe don't in line with what what the church says femininity is, then dig deeper. Because even if you would say, like, my desires aren't good, like, at the base of every disordered desire is always a good desire.
Yeah,
so get to know that desire, dig deeper into that desire, and then don't be afraid to pursue that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was great. I really liked what you said about at the root of it is it's a positive thing. And the devil, what he does is there's always a little bit of truth. There's always some truth in there. With all of our sin, all of our brokenness, there's always truth at the root that gets distorted.
Yeah.
And then it ends up, you know, we lose control of it. So
Absolutely.
That was great. All right, so pretty heavy ending, which means we're going to end with our loaded question, Junior Cards. If you've never done this before, this is a game for like 8-year-olds, but once you get to the older ones, it gets to some stuff that's a little too spicy for the radio. So we're going to go through, pick your favorite question, and then we're going to answer it. And spoiler alert, it's going to be one of the same five questions that we somehow draw every single time from that big stack of cards.
I don't think we've ever seen this one before. I haven't seen this one before.
So just pick one. You just pick one, and we're going to spice things up and start with Bella, because she looks the least prepared.
This is true. Okay, mine said, what is the number one reason you would live on a farm? And it would be to get away from people because people are lost sometimes. Because I am a very social person, but I need to, like, when I go home, like, I need to be alone. And, like, I feel like a farm is a great place to do that. Hang out with animals.
Mm-hmm. Animals are the best. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have today for the radio. If you want to keep listening to this episode, be sure to head over to YouTube or check us out on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.